Good morning. Welcome to our Good Friday service today at Margaret River Baptist Church, and welcome to the various people visiting from different places, especially up in the city, and Del Wallamue and other such locations. My name's Michael Looker, I'm the pastor here. Today we're going to have a bit of a different service from normal. Normally I, at some point, give a bit of a talk based on the passage we're having. Today I'm going to be making a few brief comments as we go through, but a big part of the service is going to be reading through some significant sections of John's Gospel. And we're going to hear the power of the drama of the history that's recorded in God's Word. And we're going to take time to reflect on it in song and over communion. And I pray that it really helps all of us here, from wherever we're from, whatever background, to grasp more of just how much Jesus has done for us as we remember on this day. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, mighty loving Lord God, we come here today with our heads in different places from a whole range of different experiences. And we come, Lord, to consider the startling message of Good Friday, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, an instrument of torture, but that Good Friday is good, because in dying Jesus took our punishment, he brought forgiveness and life to us. Lord, please speak to each one of us here today. Help us to grasp more of the wonder of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Amen. We're going to start by singing two songs which contemplate the wonder of what was done for us on the cross. Firstly, a classic old one, the old rugged cross, and then a more contemporary reflective one. Once again, please stand.
Rugged cross, stainless, not so revived.
Wallace family are going to come up and read to us from John chapter 13, starting at verse 1. If you're following on the church Bibles, it's on page 1066.
Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied,
You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand.
No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered,
Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.
Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered,
A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you.
For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, Not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place.
Do you understand what I have done for you?
He asked them.
You called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Thank you. I want to pick up on just two really striking things in this passage for me. One is just the way that Jesus, the Lord, takes the role of a servant. He gets down and washes his disciples' feet. And then he calls us to serve one another too, even in the lowliest of tasks. And the second thing is that the way Jesus tells Peter that if he has washed him, even his feet, then he is completely clean. Jesus is saying that he brings complete cleansing. And Jesus, as he does, this is at his Last Supper before he was crucified, which was also where he gave us the communion service. So where we remember that it is by Jesus' sacrifice for our sin, by Jesus' death for us, that we're washed so completely clean. So during the same Passover meal, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If I could have my helpers come up, please. And if you are trusting in Jesus' death to wash you clean from all your sin, all your selfishness, then please take the bread in memory of Jesus' body given for you, and we leave for parents to decide when children are ready to understand that. Please take in memory. In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." We'll hold the cup and drink together as one family in Christ. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your Son, who gave his body for us and gave his life for us as he bled on the cross. Thank you, Father, for giving us this meal to remember him by and all he did for us. And thank you, Father, for sending our family and friends from all around the world to be with us and share in this meal of remembrance today. Amen.
At the starting to collect up the glasses, I'll remind you that we're going to our Resurrection Sunday services at 10 o'clock. That's our normal Sunday time. But I think as they're finishing with the glasses there, we might stand and sing our next song, "Behold the Lamb of God." One of his disciples would betray him, and shortly after that Judas left to do just that. David, Diane and Terry will now continue reading from John, starting from verse 31.
When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times."
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know me, you do know him and have seen him."
Thank you. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When Jesus suffered, when Jesus died, it wasn't just as a nice example for us. Jesus gave his life for us because it was the only way. it's only through accepting Jesus' death in our place that we can come to the Father, to the all-powerful God. And like Peter, like Judas, we've got no hope if we rely on our own goodness, on our own efforts. So when Jesus calls us to trust him, to live with him as Lord, he hasn't come to snatch something away from us. Jesus has come, he's given his life to give to us. Jesus offers us what we can never grasp for ourselves, life with God forever. So, Jesus, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's, which is why it's so important that people know about Jesus. We're now going to take up our collection. Today's collection supports the work of Crossover Australia, an organisation that produces resources and shares ideas and runs conferences, all with one aim: to help Baptist churches across Australia tell people about Jesus, because he is the way, the truth and the life. Feel free just to let the bag pass by. You don't have to contribute. But while this is being collected, the musicians will play a song that Bruce Godden has written for us from this verse. Could I have my collection helpers, girls?
Lord, when you speak, Lord, when you call, all the creation will know that by your precious blood we are made whole. Lord, when you call, I am the way, the truth, the life. Only by me can you come. To the Father, our God, by me can you come. To the Father, only by me can you come. To the Father, our God, Father. Only by me can you come to the Father, our God.
Thank you. As Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we're going to stand now and sing together of what Jesus has prepared, and something of the place there. We're going to sing, There Is a Higher Throne.
Every tongue will one day come.
We'll pick up the reading again from John chapter 18, after Jesus has prayed in the garden. We've got Joanna and Neville and Norman, Jan and Carmelo to read this.
Page 1071. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was an olive grove, and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth. I told you that I am he." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words that he had spoken could be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me."
Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?"
Verse 12. Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in.
"You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl asked at the door. Asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself.
Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest.
As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? Again Peter denied it, and at that moment a rooster began to crow.
Have you ever had someone who you thought was a friend, you knew was a friend, deny they ever knew you? It'd rip your guts out. It breaks the relationship. And that's what Peter does to Jesus in the dark, Jesus' dark hour. But from the other side, I could identify with Peter so much. There are times when I want to deny knowing Jesus at all. And so often we live as if God didn't exist. There has to be a cost, a great cost, for smashing the relationship like this. And what really blows me away is that God sends his own son to pay that cost. We're going to sing of God's great love in paying that cost for us as we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Seated. The priests took Jesus to the Roman governor, Pilate, because he had the authority to execute Jesus quickly. And Pilate didn't think Jesus deserved death and wanted to set Jesus free. But the Jews there shouted out that Jesus was a king who opposed Caesar. And Matt, and followed by Tracy and Miriam, are going to read our final reading, starting from John 19, verse 13, on page 1073.
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There, they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Please stand when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died.
Oh,
Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.